Well, I'm always amazed at how God puts services together. And, you know, before when we had a specific scripture, it would be easier to kind of look and see what was coming. And as worship leaders, you can kind of tailor what that was around. But now we're looking at the character of God. It's really God that's telling you, and I can't believe. For me, it's real confirmation that what I'm saying is what I'm meant to be saying. Right. What I'd like you to do is think of your three top character traits of God. And I want you to maybe write those down, your three top character traits of God. What would be your most important three of God's character? And then we'll just share those in a minute when you've had a moment to write those down. No, I'm not getting my sermon from your input today. I've already got it together. Has everyone got that? Who would like to share first? Thanks, Rusty.
Love, joy, and peace.
Love, joy, and peace. Faithful. Okay, that's fair. Trevor?
Merciful.
Merciful. Yes.
Love, steadfast, and truth.
Love, steadfast, and truth. What was the last one?
Never gives up.
Yep. Sorry, I probably should be repeating these, I just realised. Sorry, those people. Can we just go start again? We might rewind. So, Rusty, what did you say again? Love, joy, peace? Faithful, merciful?
Love, steadfast, truth.
Love, steadfastness, and truth. Julie again?
Unconditional love.
Unconditional love.
Rescuer
of fallen man and never gives up. And Naomi?
Love and mercy.
Love and mercy. Yep. Graham?
Father,
Redeemer, and Shepherd. I thought there might be more crossover. Oh, sorry, Peter.
Patience.
And grace. Can the people that are listening, they might like to type in the feed and we could hear what you think. Are your three top three? Katie? Trustworthy. Absolutely. I'm just thinking I'm probably going to mention all of these in what I'm going to share, which is really good. Okay. Is that better? Oh, that's loud. Put it down there. Okay. Can they hear that better? Truth, bold, and merciful. Okay, that's no problem. So when I've been considering this for some time, of course, because I knew it was coming, and I like to let a sermon kind of or talk ruminate within me, kind of live it a little bit, and God speaks to me through my quiet time. Sometimes he'll wake me early and speak to me that way, get my attention, because life can get too busy. That sometimes early in the morning is the only time I've got spare. But it just reminded me how important it is that we need to know God. That is his character. Because when we know his character, we can draw on the strength, this is what Peter prayed, draw on the strength of who he is And that's really important that we are able to do that. And we won't be able to do that if we don't know his character. And he wants us to know more than those few that are really dear to us. He wants us to know everything about him. I think that would take more than a lifetime, though, to know. Maybe that's what heaven's all about. But through getting to know God, our personal relationship with him will flourish because of that. It will help us to be stronger and to have a more intimate relationship with him. I don't know about you, but I've got friends that I've known for a long time, and I might not see them for ages, but when I get together with them, I don't have to start from scratch. I can just be with that person. And we don't have to talk all the time. We can just be in each other's presence. And that's because we have a depth of relationship that with each other that I wouldn't have with people that I've only just met. And that's what God's like. The more time we spend in his presence, the more comfortable we get with that. Because I know sometimes it feels very uncomfortable, especially if we've done something wrong. I don't know about you, but sometimes we don't want to own up to those wrong things, although God already knows. But he wants us to be spending time in his presence. And he wants us to grow. He wants us to be able to know him in all that we are thinking, all that we are feeling, all that we are saying, and all that we are doing. He wants to be every part. And through that, by getting to know God, that enables us to trust him more and more. And that's what faith is all about, isn't it? Trusting what God says is true and then walking in it. More and more we will be able to recognize or see who God is and see him as Lord. I want us to turn now to Isaiah chapter 6, and I'm going to read the first 9 verses. I'm sure you'll recognise it when you begin to hear it if you don't already know it. Even songs written from it. So Isaiah 6, starting at verse 1. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the thresholds trembled at the voice of him who called out, while the temple was filling with smoke. Then I said, "Woe is me, for I am ruined, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a burning coal in his hand, which he had taken from the altar with tongs. And he touched my mouth with it and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is forgiven." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here am I, send me." So Isaiah had a pretty amazing encounter in this vision. It wasn't a real thing, it was a vision, it's called that, where he meets with God and has an understanding of who God is in that moment in his holiness. And because of coming into contact with someone who is truly holy, he realized how unholy he was. That he was, and he, you know, his response was, "This is terrible. Now I can see everything about me in the presence of this holy being. And I don't know that I like that." Feeling very unclean. I don't know if you've ever been somewhere and you've got stuff all over your hands and, you know, through mud or something, and you just can't get, some mud just sticks to you like glue, just can't get it off. And, you know, without Jesus, that's what sin is like, isn't it? Just sticks to us. But you know what? He didn't stop there. He was given the opportunity to be told that he'd been forgiven of all his sin through the hot coals that were touched his lips. He recognised that he needed something beyond himself. He needed a saviour to enable him to be able to be in that presence. He realised that when in the presence of God, the King, the Lord of hosts, he became undone. And I think that's a place God would like us to come to, a place of being undone, where we're totally exposed, known for who we truly are, the things that all of us seek to hide away. None of us are exempt from that for whatever reason. But God knows, and he wants us to be able to come into a place where we can be totally ourselves in everything that we are. The thing that amazes me is that, you know, God gave that privilege to Isaiah to have that vision. So he obviously was a man who stopped to listen to God. And then he was a man who not only who listened, he was willing to do it. And that's what's so important. And the question they ask, who will we send? His instant response was, here, send me. Let me go and tell the people of Israel what you want to say. I hear your voice. And that's what God wants us to be doing. He wants us to be stopping to listen and trusting that what we've heard is from God and then being obedient to that, going and doing it. Very simple message, trust and obey. You might remember that lovely old hymn that I used to sing as a child, I'm sure. The importance of being able to first trust God and then being obedient with what we have heard. When I was in Youth with a Mission, its little saying is to know God and to make him known. And it's the same thing. As we get to know God, we learn to trust him. And as we trust him, we learn to want to tell people about how trustworthy he is. Let's turn to Psalm 95. I'm going to read the first 7-ish verses. Oh, come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above gods, in whose hands are the depths of the earth. The peaks of the mountains are also his. The sea is his, for it is he who made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our God, our Maker, for he is our God. He wants us to be telling, you know, I thought sort of telling God, people about Jesus was just a New Testament thing, but actually quite a lot through the Old Testament, and particularly in Psalms, it talks about how his name will go forth throughout all the earth. God already had that plan in motion. He was wanting people to know who he was. He wanted to have that relationship with people. And it's really important that we're willing to listen to what God has to say to us. In Romans 10, verse 17, it says, the word comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. I'm going to read it because I'm not quoting it properly. My nerves are overtaking my memory. 10 verse 17, and it says, so faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So we get faith because we hear God's word, and therefore we can act on it in obedience to it. In verse 9 and 10 of the same chapter, it says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. It's important that we are telling of the glory of God. And in Psalm 19, flicking through around the Bible today, Starting at verse 1 to verse 5. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of his hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the ends of the world. In them he has placed a tent for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of its chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run its course. Earlier this week, I felt God say to me, I want you to encourage the people to focus on me and who I am. And that's what understanding about his character is all about. Being able to know who is God, to recognise him when we see him displayed through the universe and through our lives. We recognise the faithfulness of God, the mercy of God, the love of God, that God is trustworthy, that we can totally depend on him, that he has made a way for us. We can see all these things as we walk through our lives because he displays it for us, as it says in the scripture. Again, why is it important to know God or his character? It's important to know that so that we can recognise it and tell people about it, that we might worship God in the way that he rightly deserves. I believe this is our core business. Firstly, in everything we think, say, do and feel, that we are honouring God, that we put him first in all that we're thinking, which then comes out our mouths, what we're saying, out our hands and our feet and what we're doing and what we're feeling. The more we know God truly, the more we'll be able to represent him in a way that is going to touch people. But, you know, we do know from Romans 3:23 that we all fall short. Not just me who's short, full stop, but that we all fall short of the glory of God. But we have a way. Having been made, in verse 24, it goes on to say that we've been justified as a gift of his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. So even though we fall short in our natural selves, Jesus has made a way so that we don't fall short. So being justified, that's to do with the justice. And justice, justice is getting what we deserve. So really, without Jesus, we deserve to die. But, you know, God is merciful, so he doesn't give us what we deserve. That's what mercy is, not getting what you deserve, being pardoned. And through Jesus, we are pardoned. But then we experience the grace of God, and the grace gives us what we don't deserve. And that's actually to receive that gift from him, because it is a gift. The other important thing about knowing God is that it builds a platform on which we can stand. The rock talks about in the Psalms. A foundation. In Matthew 7, verse 24, it talks about a man who built his house upon the rock. And when the waves came and blew him around, nothing happened to the house because it was solid. But then it talks about another person who built it on the sand. And when the waves came along, it just dissipated because the sand went. I don't know if you've ever been in the water and you're standing on the sand and it just, when the waves come in, it just goes from out under your feet. And you can almost fall over because it topples you. So you can just see the importance of that. Let's just turn to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. You know, recognizing who God truly is can be a very humbling experience for us who are very proud people. Pride so often rules in our hearts that that it's hard for us to recognise, you know, that there's someone better than us. And that's in our humanness. You know, I'm not saying as Christians, but in our humanness, it's hard for us to accept that. And that's why a lot of people don't want to invite Jesus into their lives, because they want their life to be like it is, with them in control. Pride does not like it. And you can see this sometimes, you know, if you've got a special spot you sit in at church, or you've got a car park that's your car park, someone were to sit in that chair seat, or someone to sit in your pinch your car park, you can just see how sometimes things can rise up inside of us. Or at school, I don't leave my mug around because I don't want anyone else drinking from it. For that reason, you know, not for that reason, but just because I don't want anyone else drinking from it. But, you know, I wouldn't want someone drinking from my mug either. So it's important that we remember that God wants us to be humble, like he is humble. There were some pretty great people that we learn about in the Bible, like David and his beautiful Psalms that tell us so much about who God is, his character. We've got Rahab, who's remembered for sheltering the spies and then becomes in the line of Christ. Got Esther, an orphan who helps to save the Jewish people through the guidance of her uncle. We've got Stephen, and, you know, we don't really know much about Stephen except, you know, when he kind of, there's a little glimpse of him earlier or before then, but basically it's about the stoning of Stephen and, you know, his desire to want to honour God. And then you've got the disciples and Paul, who finally sees the light of who Christ is in Acts 9. And we just see, we see through all these people in the Bible who Jesus is. Now you might be wondering, so Marjorie, what are you actually focusing on as your character? Does anyone want to tell me what they think it might be? I've talked about lots of different characters. Traits?
Not
could be. Could be. The life we live with them. Well, actually, I'm talking about the fact that God is worthy. All these things show me how worthy God is. Every part of his character shows me that he is worthy. And that what makes him worthy? Because of who he is in his character. That he is God and what Jesus has done for us. These are all things that show me that he is worthy of my life. And that is really important. And one of the songs we sang today, it says, "When I consider what you have made, the mighty oceans, the fiery stars, the fields and forests give you praise, my Lord, my God. When I consider what you have done, I see your suffering, I see your scars. Oh, the wonder and the love, my Lord, my God. And I stand in awe." Just gives me goosebumps thinking about that. How awe-inspiring God is, that he is totally, absolutely worthy of my life, without a doubt. But then what am I going to do with this? If God is worthy enough for me, then is there something standing in the way of me being able to come to him in a way that is going to be honouring to him? Is there something that I might need to let go of or to lay down? Could it be things that have hurt me in my past that might stand between me really being able to see God for who he is? Or is it a challenge in my life that seems a bit overwhelming, a bit? Or is it just the fact that I have a good life and I don't really kind of need God so much when things are going along really well? Is it people in my life that might make me not want to give him the worship that he deserves? Is it circumstances? Is it the past, the present, or the future? Is it my understanding or knowledge of, or lack of understanding or knowledge that I have of God? If he is worthy, what do I need to do about that? Well, we know it's to lay it down at the foot of the cross and to come to him and say afresh. And I know we've already done communion, but I want us to just take a moment, a personal moment, and just, I'm not saying that you need to do this, I'm just giving you the opportunity, should you need to do this, to lay down anything that you feel that he might be saying to you right now. I don't believe he'd give you 10 things, I believe it'd be only one thing anyway, that he would want you to let go of and lay down at the foot of the cross, because he is the only one worthy of such a sacrifice. That's the conclusion I come to. In Isaiah 53, verse 5, it says, he was pierced for our transgressions. He took the punishment we deserved. He bore it. So if there's anything that stands in the way of us being able to really embrace who God truly is, that we might bring him that worship that he deserves, let's just take a moment. I'm going to stop. Give you a moment to just consider that with God. It would be really good to sing that song one more time. I stand in awe, if we can do that, and if give people opportunity to respond in a way that you want. If there's something you do need to let go of, you can do that. Or just give him the worship that he deserves, because he certainly is worth it. So I'm going to...